throughout Western Australia and beyond. This is VK6 Amateur Radio News with News West for Sunday the 14th of June 2020. News West today is the contesting edition, and we bring you news of contests, especially Aussie contests, coming up in the next month or so. Today I bring you a story of Richie in the Digital Mode series. Chris brings news from the Radio Amateur Society of Australia. Roy brings you Helpline, and Jeff and I tell you about the contest. I gave Dan the day off this week. Now on with the news.
NZART Memorial Contest, 4th to the 5th of July. The NZART Memorial Contest has been held every year since 1946 to commemorate those New Zealand amateur radio operators who lost their lives in World War II. For those unaware, the NZART is the New Zealand Association of Radio Transmitters. The Memorial Contest, the Kiwi equivalent of Australia's RD Contest, is on the 4th and 5th of July this year. The contest is on 80 metres and operates between 2000 and 2300 New Zealand Standard Time hours, with 3 1-hourly operating periods each evening. 2000 hours in Kiwi time is only 4 p.m. Western Standard Time, so contacts may be difficult to make. However, you never know if you don't turn your radio on. Again, that is 2000 Kiwi hours to 4 p.m. Western Standard Time. The VK Contest Logger has the NZART Memorial Contest rules built in.
Last week I introduced this series on digital modes, and I thought I'd kick off with one of the older modes, RTTY, spelt R-T-T-Y, which is an abbreviation for radio teletype. And that's what it sounds like. Radio teletype is a telecommunications system consisting originally of two or more electromechanical teleprinters in different locations connected by radio rather than a wired link. These machines were superseded by personal computers running software to emulate teleprinters. Radio teletype evolved from earlier landline teleprinter operations that began in the mid-1800s. The United States Navy Department successfully tested printing telegraphy between an airplane and ground radio station in 1922. Later that year, the Radio Corporation of America successfully tested printing telegraphy via their Chatham, Massachusetts radio station to the RMS Majestic. Commercial RTTY systems were in active service between San Francisco and Honolulu as early as April 1932 and between San Francisco and New York City by 1934. The US military used radio teletype in the 1930s and expanded this usage during World War II. From the 1980s, teleprinters were replaced by computers running teleprinter emulation software. The term radio teletype is used to describe both the original radio teletype system, sometimes described as a Bordot, as well as the entire family of systems connecting two or more teleprinters, or PCs, using software to emulate teleprinters over radio, regardless of alphabet, link system, or modulation. The use of radio teletype, or RTTY, in amateur radio began to bloom after the Second World War, with used machines coming onto the market. The biggest decision you'll make when you begin to set up for RTTY is whether you want to use AFSK or FSK to transmit RTTY. Either way will work for you. AFSK and FSK are terms to describe how RTTY is transmitted. AFSK, or audio frequency shift keying, is when you send audio from a TNC, a terminal, node controller, or sound card, to the audio input of your transmitter, either via the mic input or an accessory jack. FSK is when you send on-off keying from a TNC or serial COM port to the FSK input on your transmitter. Most modern transceivers today have an FSK input, By using the FSK input to your transceiver, you can then operate the radio in the RTTY or FSK position of the radio and make use of filters available for receiving RTTY, such as narrow 250Hz or 500Hz IF filters. Now, having got the almost technical stuff out of the way, let's get to the exciting bit, the bit where you get your computer and radio set up for RTTY operation. You won't get a blow-by-blow instruction on setting up. However, I'll point you in the right direction. The simplest way to operate RTTY without using external hardware devices is to connect your transceiver to a computer via an audio interface that also operates the push-to-talk on the radio. As I pointed out last week, there is a multitude of simple homebrew designs available for an interface, or you could buy one of the commercially produced units. That's your choice. Do it the way that suits you. Next, you'll need software. Probably the most used software apps are MTTY and WinWarbler, which both have been around for a while, and FLDigi, a more recent app, or rather, it's a suite of apps combined that covers most of the popular digital modes. There are more, however. I'll leave it to you to discover them. You do need to read the instructions to get the best out of the RTTY software, as audio levels and frequency adjustments are a bit critical, but don't let that deter you. Listen around the bands until you find RTTY signals and start tweaking your software. You'll know you've got it right when your software starts decoding. Don't lose heart if you can't decode. Move on to another signal. You may have stumbled across someone using an odd mode of RTTY. It's a good idea to look out for RTTY contests so that you know there will be someone out there and all using the standard amateur radio RTTY modes. So good luck with RTTY, with your radio teletype. It's a great keyboard chat mode, and like most digital modes, it works where voice won't work. I'm Bob VK6POP.
From Western Australia, this is VK6ARN, and you're listening to News West.
The IARU HF Contesting Championships, 11th to the 12th of July. The annual International Amateur Radio Union HF Championship Contest is on between the 11th and 12th of July this year. The objective of the contest is to support amateur self-training in radio communications, including improving amateur operating skills, conducting technical investigations, and intercommunicating with other amateurs around the world, especially IARU member society headquarters stations, using the 160, 80, 40, 20, 15, and 10 metre bands. There are usually stations in each country designated as headquarters stations, and I expect these will be announced over the next few weeks. VK Contest Logger is configured to log the contest. An advantage of these international contests, even for non-contesters, is that you discover the bands you thought were dead surprisingly spring into life, and you can see how propagation is working. The downside, of course, is that some contestants don't read band plans and stomp all over the narrow part of the bands that have been set aside for the activities. But that's another story. The contest is conducted by the ARRL. If you're considering working this contest at all, visit their website to read about it, especially the 5-day window for log submission. Just use your favourite search engine and look for IARU HF Champion.
The VK Trans-Tasman Low Bands Challenge is on in a few weeks, on Saturday the 18th of July. This contest has an aim to encourage low band activity trans-Tasman, that is, between Australia and New Zealand. As the contest name suggests, the contest bands are 160 metres, 80 metres and 40 metres, and the allowed modes are single sideband, CW and digital. The digital modes allowed are RTTY and PSK. The aim of this contest is to work as many VK and ZL prefixes and as many different stations on those three bands in a short evening contest. Yep, it's a short contest, and you get to go to bed at a respectable time. The contest starts at 0800 UTC and finishes at 1400 UTC. That's 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. for Wee West Aussies, 6 hours worth of contest. VK Contest Logger is configured for this contest and easy to use. The rules are up on the WIA website.
June 20th, 21st, Winter VHF UHF Field Day. Next weekend sees the Australian VHF UHF Field Days contest. This contest provides an opportunity to head for the hills and see how far and how many contacts can be made. The field days have separate sections for single and multiple operator stations. The duration of the field day is 24 hours, but there are also 8-hour sections for operators who may not be able to camp overnight. Most club stations prefer to operate for the full 24 hours. The field days generate plenty of activity from home stations, so there is also a home station section. All contacts must be simplex. Contacts through repeaters or satellites are not allowed. There is plenty of FM activity, but one feature of the field day is a high level of SSB activity. It is possible to do very well with even a modest antenna if you pick a good hilltop. Another option, if your station is easily transportable, is to operate from more than one location during the contest period. The aim of the contest. The overriding aim is to get away for the weekend and have some fun. But next, after that, the aims are simple. To encourage more activity on VHF and microwave bands. To encourage people to work greater distances than usual by operating portable. And to provide opportunities for people to activate or work into new grid squares. When you see photos of the real VHF UHF enthusiasts doing this contest, you could be excused for thinking, oh my, I'll never achieve that equipment level. But don't let that deter you. The biggest hurdle we face in VK6, especially in these high frequency contests, is finding someone else on air. So every person that has a go puts one more station into the mix for everyone else that's having a go. Even with the most basic of equipment, get yourself onto a high point somewhere and have a go. If nothing else, you could have a nice day out. Details of the VHF UHF Field Days contests can be found on the WIA website in the members section. I, for one, will be raising the vertical and Yagi antennas for 2.70 sims, and I hope to hear you on air.
Hello, this is Chris with news from the Radio Amateur Society of Australia. Let's start this week with an update from the AMC on exams. AMC report that there is now a gradual relaxation of COVID regulations for face-to-face examinations. AMC are working with the university to develop a checklist as guidance to allow you to hold face-to-face examinations in premises for which there is a formal COVID-safe plan in place. You will be notified when this has been signed off, and the guidelines will be sent to assessors in the next few days. In the meantime, remote assessments remain in place, and our thanks to those who have been conducting these. Contact the AMC for more details. Now, to some updates with QRM Guru. QRM Guru releases a new video. This time, the video is from Bob VK3XP and covers his homebrew ultrasonic receiver to help track down power line noise. If power line noise is causing you problems, this could be another useful tool in your arsenal. Visit qrm.guru and search on ultrasonics for Bob's article and the video. Or you can go directly to the video section of the website if you just want to view the video. And don't forget, if you're struggling with QRM or RFI issues in your shack, send us an email and we'll see how we can assist. Simply send an email with all the details of your QRM or RFI and send it to feedback@qrm.guru. As previously reported, RASA released a free guidebook for newcomers to our hobby. It's been downloaded over 950 times already. Grab your free copy and please pass the link on to any newcomers. Of course, we welcome your feedback. Being an ebook, we can publish updates easily. Head to our website and follow the link. That's www.vkradioamateurs.org. And a reminder from FISTS, the CW Preservation Society have a grants program for the Reverse Beacon Network. RASA congratulates the Australian Morse Code Preservation Society, FISTS, for showing leadership with this national grants program. FISTS are offering grants of up to $500 for Australian clubs to expand the CW Reverse Beacon Network. Read more at their website, fdu.org.au. And you can learn more about the Reverse Beacon Network by visiting reversebeacon.net. Now, some news on call signs and your personal details. As we have reported previously, you do not have to change your call sign if you move interstate. You just need to tell ACMA your new postal address. ACMA have also advised they no longer require an actual station address, only a postal address. To change your postal address, send the email to ACMA at info@acma.gov.au. To hear more about these stories, or to subscribe to our podcast, head to our website and follow the link on the lower right-hand side of the homepage. That's www.vkradioamateurs.org. And be sure to check out our new podcast. And if you have any questions, just send us an email, info@vkradioamateurs.org. 7-3.
From time to time, in fact, every month, we here at News West have promoted amateur radio contesting. We've predominantly promoted Australian contests with a smattering of international contests that attract a bit of interest in Australia. There are contests on almost every weekend of the year, so you can't rely on News West to tell you everything about every contest. So what we give you is a peek at Aussie contests and a smattering of the internationals. It would make boring radio to try to cover the lot. It's not difficult to discover more about contests because there are contest calendars available, maintained by national amateur radio bodies, radio clubs, and private individuals. I don't want to read out boring lists of web addresses, and I'm sure you don't want me to either. These contest calendars are easy to find using your favourite search engine. Try search terms such as ARRL contest and RSGB contest and contest calendar. You'll find lots. Now there's an Aussie contest calendar maintained by Alan VK4 Sierra November. That's VK4SN, and it covers most international contests as well as the Aussie ones. The Wireless Institute of Australia has rules, results, etc. for the Aussie contests that are supported by the Wireless Institute. So if you're thinking about taking up contesting or just curious, the calendars and contest information pages are a good place to start looking.
You are listening to News West, VK6 ARN.
Now, with regard to weekly notices of meetings and things that are going on, we've not yet received any amended meeting notices, so there's no club meeting information to be put out this week, and perhaps there'll be some news next week along with the club focus edition of the news. Now, one regular meeting that has resumed face-to-face is Prawnheads, and this from Don, VK6DN. Next Sunday's News West is the Club Focus Edition, and at a time when we're all climbing out of the COVID-19 vortex, well, most of us at least, it's a good time to tell everyone what your club is about to get up to in the post-isolation recommencement of face-to-face meetings. So let's have your stories, and the deadline, as usual, is high noon Fridays at the OK Corral, or on an email to newswest@vk6.net if that works better. Speaking of vortices, has anyone seen the well-overdue copy of the Amateur Radio magazine? I haven't. What bothers and concerns me most is the deafening silence from the Wireless Institute, which has failed miserably in keeping its members informed about this most concerning of matters. Is the absence of a magazine an indication of a larger problem? The sounds of silence is deafening. News West works best when the stuff we put to air comes from a broad cross-section of amateur individuals, groups and clubs. News West is your amateur radio news program, and there's nothing I'd like more than to be able to have so much material to cram in that there's no room for me to write and record stuff. How about it? Shout out to us on email to newswest@vk6.net. Too easy, eh? And this is VK6 Amateur Radio News, and you are listening to News West, and next, Roy with Helpline.
G'day everyone, Roy VK6XV with this week's helpline for the 14th of June 2020. Hope you're all getting over your cabin or shack fever and getting out a little bit now that the doors in the state have been opened a little bit. We can now go between regions at least. We can't go across the border, but we're looking forward to that sometime in the future. And nothing much to report this week other than Bob still looking for a 10-pin Canon connector, Amphenol 10-pin or something similar. Third time lucky for this one. It has two rows of two, then two rows of three, and then two rows of two again. If you have any plug that would match that, please contact Bob. His telephone number 08-9277-7049. That's 08-9277-7049. And he'd love to hear from you if you can help him with that Amphenol Canon plug, one or the other. And thank you once again from Bob. If you'd like to enter into next week's broadcast, please email me. The address is victorkilo6xrayvictor@bigpond.com. VK6XV at bigpond.com. And 7-3 from me, 7-3 from him.
News West is compiled from a variety of sources, and views expressed may not reflect those of WA Amateur Radio News or the broadcasters. News West is offered in the open spirit that is amateur radio. Having said that, though, if you don't agree with something you heard on News West, you're very welcome to put your point of view over to us. We'll happily put your recording to air, or if you're not sure how to make a recording, get in touch and we can work something out. Of course, the usual rules apply. What you say must be truthful and can't be something that will land you or me in court with a complaint about slander. Our individual views and opinions may differ. However, there's always room for putting over a point of view. Give it a go. Talk to us at newswest@vk6.net. Now, thanks to the small team this week, Jeff was my go-to guy this week as Dan buzzed off to Geraldton to get some sun. How did that go, Dan? Next week, Michael returns to the fold, so you won't need to hear as much of my voice droning on. What a relief I hear you say. Thanks to the broadcasters and callback collectors, and of course to you, the listeners. My job as News West producer is still on offer. In fact, this week, we're offering a 25% salary bonus to you. If you're interested, email me at vk6popper, that's vk6pop@westnet.com.au. And we can talk about it. Until next week, 7-3 from us. And now it's time for you to go and get on air and make some noise. Thank you.